Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We are joined, I'm very pleased to say, by Peter Husey. He's one of the country's most thoughtful and engaged players on the whole issue of national security in general, but specifically nuclear deterrence and ballistic missile defense. He is the president of Geostrategic Analysis and participates actively in the public policy debate, both in his writings as well as in his role as one of the conveners of meetings in which these issues are addressed by senior policymakers, the executive branch, Capitol Hill, and so on. He's a real national treasure in that regard, and we're always delighted to be able to pick his brain from time to time. Peter, welcome back, I think, for the first time in the new year, so happy new year to you.
Happy new year, and thank you, Frank, again, for your work that you do in this business, and thank you for letting me talk with you this morning.
Happy to do it, my friend. Let me ask you, Peter, about this leaked draft, apparently, of the nuclear posture review. We had Michaela Dodge on yesterday talking a bit about it, but I'd be very interested in your thoughts as to whether this is as heartening as it seems to me to be, and if in the end it will be pretty much aligned with the final draft of what the president adopts.
I can't tell you whether this is or is not the NPR. I'm fairly sure it is a fairly accurate draft. I think it was leaked, however, for the purpose of making it appear that, oh my God, the President of the United States is going to push for more nuclear weapons, lower yield nuclear weapons, and we all know that he's reckless and he's, oh God, we're going to see these used accidentally or deliberately or whatever, and the chances of a nuclear conflict just went up greatly. That was the initial. And all these articles and essays were in the can before this came out because they knew that it was going to be leaked.
Yeah. So the left has capitalized on this in the hopes that they could get changes in it and some of these programs dropped. And I'm particularly heartened, Peter, by the evident willingness of the drafters of this document, at least, to recognize, as we've talked about frequently over the years, the need to actually modernize not just the launch platforms for our deterrent forces, but also the weapons themselves.
I'm very heartened by what is there. And I'm more than that, I'm heartened by the fact that there are a whole lot of people have come forward and said, oh, wait a minute, this is a very rational, reasonable, well thought out draft report. In particular, this issue of low yield weapons that I've recently written about, nowhere in the NPR does it say that these weapons are more usable. I don't know of any NPR that has ever said that. What they are, however, are better for deterrence in that they tell an adversary like Russia, don't go there, because if you want to talk about using nuclear weapons, the Russians themselves think they are very usable. And as I told you, and as you know, between 2009 and 2016, that eight-year period, the Russians over two dozen times deliberately and very openly threatened the use of nuclear weapons against the United States and our allies. And those are threats that were all pre-Trump.
Yeah, and these are steps that they have complemented these threats with a very aggressive modernization program of their own, including these relatively low-yield weapons. Is that right?
Yes, they have, depending on who you want to talk about, I wrote about this as well, they have anywhere between 2,000 and 5,000 tactical or theater nuclear weapons. They are modernizing them across the board. And as Mark Schneider has pointed out, and Putin, he's quoting Putin, Putin says that by 2020, by today, 90% of their nuclear deterrent or nuclear modernization effort is done. And by 2021, it'll be 100% done. And we will not be bringing a new bomber, submarine, or ICBM into the field any earlier than probably 2026, 2027, in that neighborhood. Talking about the arms race, they're the ones leading the parade, and we haven't even gotten our track shoes on.
Peter, one of the hardy perennials of the left, which is, as you say, now being sounded again, both in the context of this leaked draft NPR and the sort of broader effort to challenge the president's authority or perhaps even restrict the president's authority to launch nuclear weapons have been some cavilling by people like former Secretary of Defense Bill Perry and Bruce Blair, at one point a launch control officer, Talk a little bit about their assertions that, you know, we're on a hair trigger and the president could go berserk and launch these ICBMs willy-nilly.
Well, this is a two-part thing. Bill Perry spoke in the Washington Cathedral in November and said it is American policy today to launch our missiles on warning of attack. Not attack, warning of attack. He knows that's not true. And I actually confronted him at the Washington Cathedral remarks and just, and he knows who I am. And I said, sir, where do you get this idea that our policy? And he just said, well, that's our policy. He's 100% wrong. But the more dangerous assertion is Bruce Blair, in a fundraising letter, which I have a copy of, said that as a launch control officer, when he was in a Minuteman launch control center, he could, on his own authority, as he said, go berserk and launch ICBMs. Now, if he had Minuteman I missiles that all went out of the force in the early 1970s, he would have to get his other launch control guy to also turn the keys. But there's a very important point here. The other eight launch control authorities in four other launch control centers can immediately and are taught to immediately override an unauthorized launch. So they could turn all their keys, all eight of them, and shut him down. So no, even in those days under Minuteman I. Under Minuteman II and III, the system was changed so you never can launch a missile unless the President of the United States has given you launch codes, which come in through secure communications, which you have no control over. And so Bruce Blair's letter that what he wants to do is prevent a launch control officer going berserk and starting World War III, or nuclear Armageddon, is baloney.
Yeah. Peter, let me ask you, speaking of baloney, one of the other things that you've done extraordinarily important work in doing is sort of serving as a truth squad on those like Bruce Blair and many others who have been claiming that, you know, the costs associated with making the long overdue modernization of our arsenal a priority will be budget breaking. Give us the straight story on that, would you?
Well, the CBO is where these reports come from. And you have to understand, CBO can only write something according to the rules given to them by the requester, in this case, a senator or a congressman or a group of senators and congressmen. They were told, do this over 30 years, add 2% growth to everything, and include sustainment personnel, operations, and acquisition, meaning buying the new stuff. And they used 100% of the bomber costs, including all the conventional bombers. Well, let's back up. Even if you do 30 years and you look at, let's take 20% of the bombers, which is what CSIS and some other organizations have done reasonably. Take the ICBMs, which are $65 billion, and then the submarines, about $120 billion, and then the bomber costs about $20. You're talking about $200 billion over 30 years to buy the platforms. And then you're talking about another $100 billion plus to buy the command and control upgrades and the warheads under the National Nuclear Security Administration. So the cost you hear of $1 trillion plus, it's inflated by 60%. It includes all personnel, operations, and maintenance for 30 years, which we never talk about any other weapon system that way. No more than a third of that is what it's going to cost to actually buy everything and modernize.
And that's over 30 years.
Yes, but let me give you the number for this year. Submarines and their missiles, including the old ones and the new ones, $5.4 billion. ICBMs, $1.8 billion. And the B-21 bomber, no more than $1.3 billion. Total, $8.5 billion out of a defense budget of $620 billion, out of a federal budget of $4.2 trillion. And comparatively, we spend $13 billion a year going to the movies. I don't mean watching on your TV. I mean getting in the car, going to the movies. $13 billion a year. We're spending $8.5 to modernize the platforms of our nuclear deterrent. That's the real number.
Dog food and cosmetics and other things put this into perspective as well. But it is a bargain, especially if it does what it has done over these post-World War II years, which is protect us against the kind of global conflagration that we've seen so often in the past. So much more to talk about in terms of how to preserve deterrence, including about missile defense. So we look forward to talking with you soon and often in 2018. In the meantime, again, a happy new year to you, and thank you for joining us today and the work you do in Washington, D.C., as well as elsewhere. God bless you. Next up, we will speak with Mike Waller about political warfare. That's more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.